you have to talk to the stakeholders and understand what are their big questions, what needs to get answered, what are the things that are going to actually drive decisions within the organization. You know, as data scientists, as data engineers, you know, we can go in and we can think like all of these different things could be really interesting and impactful and useful, but at the end of the day, if you're not actually answering a question that a general manager or a coach has that they need to understand to change how they're, the decisions they're making, you're not serving the organization well. And all the work you're going to do is not going to be actually utilized in the way that you expect.
Ben Alamar, welcome to Winning with Data.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Ben, you've literally written the book on sports analytics. So I think that the first question has to be, what are the common traits that you've seen among successful organizations that are data-driven?
So I think that organizations that utilize data well are first thoughtful about data and understanding the nuances that of data this and have a level of sophistication of how they think about data as beyond just get me this fact now kind of operation. That's a general mindset that's important in terms of how they incorporate data into their decision making. I think from a sort of technical side, one of the things that is sort of the key, the building block to everything is getting the data itself right first. I think you can have great modelers, data scientists, and do all kinds of fancy machine learning things. But if the data itself is not right, at very best, it's going to be a slow, hard process to do any of the modeling. At the very worst, it's just going to be garbage. So you really want to spend time on the infrastructure, the plan, not just for the data that you have right now, but the data that you're going to have for the next 2 or 3 years, adding in data sets, making sure it's easy to join and connect those different data sets so you don't end up with a whole very valuable data set, but it's siloed because you don't have the time and resources to build it in and join it with everything else that you've got.
I mean, that's just the part that people take for granted, isn't it? Assuming that the data is going to be in a format and a position to interrogate. So let's dig into that just a layer more. What does it mean for data to be organized, data to be well-prepared and engineered and architected? And what steps can clubs take to try and get there?
First, you want to think about, you know, what are the use cases? What I have all of these different data streams coming into an organization, whether it's play-by-play data, it's data from practices, it's data motion capture data, it's performance data, it's, you know, the sports science data, all these different things. And we want them all to work together. And we want to have them centralized in one place so you can really leverage the value of all of that data together. In order to do that, you have to find ways to join those data sets in a meaningful way. So player names, like do you have the right player names that you're joining across these data sets? You know, if you have two players with the same name, how do you differentiate between things that sound like, well, duh, but if once you actually get into the complexity of the data, can be, you know, things that require some thought in how you want to structure your data. Once you have all of that, that just becomes a massive data that you have to deal with. You then need to have a layer on top of that that allows for efficient use of the data. So what that means is you're aggregating all of these very granular data sets into more aggregated data sets that are actually useful on a daily basis. What are the kinds of aggregates that you're going to want to pull? So maybe, you know, the sports science group maybe needs, you know, their own data, but also, you know, with the actual in-game performance data together. And so you're creating an aggregate that is designed to serve the needs of the sports science group. Then the front office group obviously needs very different data than the sports science group does on a daily basis. And so creating the aggregates that each of those groups are going to need, and then having those building the, you know, the layers on top so it's easy to access that, both to analyze it for the data scientist and for the decision maker to have an information system on top of those data sets, those aggregates, so they can look through and use the data without having to go to an analyst every single time they have a different question. And then building that infrastructure, that whole sort of funnel of data to a point where when you're adding a new data set, a new data stream becomes available and you want to add that into your workflow, you know, seamlessly, you don't have to rebuild everything. You want to make sure that you can join those data sets, join a new data set seamlessly, bring it in, have it aggregated up in the right ways without starting from scratch every time you have a new data set.
Something you've touched on twice already is understanding what information stakeholders want and the process of how they get that information. We've had other guests talk about like centers of excellence and the hub and spoke model. And there's a lot of terms thrown around there, but Can we actually come back to the first question of what do you see in successful organizations in terms of how they determine what information is important and how that gets into the right pairs of hands?
That's really the central question, because you have to talk to the stakeholders and understand what are their big questions, what needs to get answered, what are the things that are going to actually drive decisions within the organization. You know, as data scientists, as data engineers, you know, we can go in and we can think like all of these different things could be really interesting and impactful and useful. But at the end of the day, if you're not actually answering a question that a general manager or a coach has that they need to understand to change how their the decisions they're making, you're not serving the organization well. And all the work you're going to do is not going to be actually utilized in the way that you expect. One example of this, you know, when the player tracking data was first coming into to play in the NBA and I was working with the team, I had all kinds of really cool ideas of things that I wanted to do and, you know, models to build off of this data. But what we did is we just brought in a bunch of the front office folks and said, all right, what are the things about the game of basketball that you don't know that you would like to understand better? And let's see if we can try and answer some of those things from this data set. And so we got from them some answers and things that they actually thought were high priority things that they would actually change how they were making decisions would really be important for them in making decisions. And, you know, they were things, you know, largely like hustle metric kind of stuff, which was not the first thought that I had at all in terms of how I would utilize this data. But because we had that feedback, we were able to structure the data in a way that was allowed us to answer those questions and start to build on, you know, some buy-in for using this data to impact decision-making to later on be able to get to a point where we could actually do some of the things that we thought were interesting. But getting that input first, we made sure that we were doing something that the organization was going to utilize. That's sort of the, you know, sort of what information. Then the question is like, how are we going to get this information to the right people at the right times? And it depends a lot on sort of how that you want to use what the goal of the information is. Is this something that we want to look at on a regular basis, a daily basis, that is going to impact, you know, how we prepare for every single opponent is going to change how we view our organization on a daily basis or even weekly or monthly basis? Or is this a deep research project that we want to make sure we're thinking about it right? And once we get that answer, then eventually some of that information may funnel into some other daily kinds of data information. But for now is really just an idea that we're trying to investigate. In that first case, we want to have a dashboard or some other kind of mechanism that a stakeholder, a coach, whether a general manager or whoever it is, can pull up this data, have it in the context they need it in terms of all of the other information that they utilize, and can explore it to some degree on their own. And so as much as self-serve as possible. So they, you know, that requires making sure they understand what the information actually represents. But then once you build it into a dashboard and let them answer their most, you know, 90% of their own questions before they have to then come back to the analytics group and say, what I really need is this. And then you can, you know, either provide that or build that functionality again into the dashboard that they're using. In the second case, it's much more about getting the data science, getting the modeling all right and deep, getting to an answer, and then finding time to really walk through that as much as you can with the interested stakeholders.
Yeah, sometimes things are ad hoc requests. Sometimes you have long-term research projects, and some things are part of the day-to-day. And understanding the difference between all of those things and where they each come into what a staff does in their job fascinates me. So what have you seen among your past work and among your most highly rated colleagues in your network in terms of expectation setting?
So that's really important, because I think a lot of times, you know, stakeholders think, well, you just ask this question, you just have to, you know, pull the data out. It's all fine. It's all just there. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes it is a simple, you know, SQL query and you pull it out and you give an answer and great. Oftentimes it's a lot more complex because particularly if you've done a, you know, good job and you have a good data infrastructure with dashboards and everything and those stakeholders know how to use those things, then the questions they're answering are often way more complex and require significant time and thought to make sure you're answering them in the right way. And so anytime you get a question like that, you know, one of the important things is to understand the priority of getting an answer, because you can answer questions at a whole different set, sets of levels. And you want to understand, what is, not just the timing of when somebody needs an answer, but how that's going to, information is going to get utilized in decision-making. So you can understand the depth with which you need to go to try and make sure you're answering the question. Is it good enough to have a, quick correlational analysis? Or do you need to actually have a sophisticated model behind it to make sure that you have a really precise answer, or at least the most precise answer you can come up with? And that's bounded by also the time in which the data could actually impact the decision. So you have those two different dimensions of the question that you really want to understand from the stakeholder before you try and set a plan. Once you have that, you have a good sense of that, though, then just be really clear, we can do X, Y, and Z, we can do it in this amount of time, and set that, explain to them what the trade-offs are. And also explain what the trade-offs are with other ongoing work. So is this ask more important than this other ask that I'm trying to get done today? You need both these things today. I can't do both of them. What's the highest priority thing? What's the highest value thing for us to do today? If I get, which one could wait till tomorrow, for example, or next week in order to, serve the needs of the organization the best way. It's sometimes I think data scientists get in the trap of thinking they know that, and maybe they have a good idea, maybe they're right even, but that doesn't mean that the stakeholder sees it the same way. They may have a different perspective that is equally valid or not. It could be just wrong, but that's not going to serve the organization to prioritize on your own. So working as a partner with your stakeholders to make sure that you're in agreement on what the priorities should be, what the level of the depth of the answers should be, is fundamental to being really effective within the organization.
Every year, organizations have to make decisions around build versus buy versus hire. How do you see this? And, you've been a part of and witnessed a lot of tech evolution. So that landscape has changed since you first came into the game. So what's your view on this and your advice to, let's say, general managers thinking about this?
I think overall systems, I think you need to think about what your organization is and what you can sustain as an organization and how quickly you want to get things accomplished. So if you're taking an organization that's starting from scratch, they either don't have a system at all or they are going to be building a brand new system for sure. It's unlikely that they have the resources internally or the ability to hire the resources internally as full-time employees to build that in any reasonable amount of time. The data is just too complex at this point to do that. For that scope of project, you're going to want a consultant to come in and build under the direction of your full-time engineering folks and data science folks. So you get all the use cases right. So the consultants you bring in are guided by the actual principles and use cases of the organization and not by their own conception of how the data should be structured. But we really test and use the internal resources as the field experts to push the consultants in the right directions and make sure that they're thinking about all the data in the right way in which a sports organization will think about it. Other things, building that system, you want to be thinking in the future, what of this can I manage? What do I have that will have the resources to manage on a regular basis and extend and build on? Is an organizational question, how much do we want to invest in data engineers? How big is that organization going to be internally for the long term? So we know whether we're going to need to have consultants every 2 or 3 years to augment and build and extend the system, or can we get it to a level at which we are building a system that is going to be augmented and maintained by the internal resource. Those lead to different decisions along the, how you build that system initially. Anytime you can bring something in that will create efficiencies for your organization and get more out of your existing team, then, that should help you. But you should always have the internal resources that are the actual experts on how this data gets used internally so that you don't get something built that gets you stuck in not being able to do something in the most efficient way.
A common friend of ours remarked that sports organizations are multi-billion dollar businesses that are run like family offices. There's a lot of really good people, really smart people working really hard that don't necessarily have the resources that they could or should. You're a couple of years into working in big tech. What do you see resource-wise, platforms, infrastructures, systems that sports can learn from?
It's interesting. I think that, you know, every organization faces the similar kinds of constraints regardless of their scale. I think that we run into the same kinds of problems in the tech world an individual team runs into. There's slightly different dimensions to it. You have more data engineers internally at big tech companies to handle things, but they're still a limited resource. No matter how many you have, there's just a lot more at a big tech organization that has to get done than you need to do at a basketball team. So you are always going to feel resource constrained in terms of the time from the people that are can actually build new things for you. I think the advantage that the non-sports teams have is having just more people while they're all have similar constraints in terms of same kinds of trade-offs in terms of build versus buy and consulting and all of that kind of stuff. You have more of them to talk about the big problems and how to solve big problems and be the field experts. And so it's not down to just one or two or three people to have all the important thoughts around how to build something to get it right for the organization. The more people, the more experts you have, the more thoughts you have, the more people you have pushing on the assumptions that you're making as you're building out, whether it's the big data system or a model, the better it's going to be. It's going to be a stronger situation. And I think that's one of the advantages that larger tech groups have over the smaller engineering group and data science group at a sports team.
Let's talk tracking data for a few minutes. You touched on this earlier. It's been around for a while, but it's really only just starting to kind of whack everyone in terms of the volume, the opportunity, the overwhelm in terms of management. What should general managers and team owners be thinking about in terms of what to do with the tracking data, what they should be trying to get out of it, and how it should be managed?
It is going to include more in the future for all sports. This we know. And so the data is just going to continually get exponentially bigger. And as you build systems, you need to keep just the sheer volume of the data in mind, because it's going to get significantly bigger as the NBA goes into pose recognition data next season. Like, that by itself is going to be a major increase in just the data loads. So the decision makers need to be thinking about is not so much that they need to rely, the data engineering team needs to be thinking about that and how to manage that and how to deal with that. I think the most useful thing that just the real stakeholders, general managers, the coaches need to think about is, what do they want to know? What are the things that would change if they knew X that would impact how I do Y? And have some imagination about it. And I think we often, and this is when I talked at the very beginning of this, a level of sophistication about understanding data and what it is and isn't. Just because we have an answer now doesn't mean we can't have a more sophisticated, better, more granular answer in the future with better data. So having those constant discussions, those give and takes about, well, this data is ignoring these three things. These dimensions aren't included in this analysis, so I can't use that. Well, that's not fair. The model, even if it does include every possible variable, can still be useful. But understanding what the sort of the key elements of an analysis that are missing that would allow the data to be even more impactful, that's the key. So having that constant give and take and conversation between the data scientists and the stakeholders. The people that I worked with in the NBA, forgot more basketball than I'll ever know. And so they can see different dimensions and understand different dimensions that would never have occurred to me. And so listening to them, just the act of listening to them talk through a film session helped me understand some of the things that might be impactful. But then really addressing it with them, like, what are the, we have these shot probability models. What are they missing? What are the things that you think they get wrong? And as the data gets more and more granular, more and more specific, that's then becomes on the data scientist to figure out how to incorporate these things into the analysis. So the information just gets better and better for the stakeholders. The stakeholders shouldn't ever be thinking about data. They should be thinking about information. And that's the key distinction there.
Sometimes information is that needle in a haystack. It's that unique insight that we wouldn't have found without data science or machine learning. Sometimes it's confirming or refuting subject matter opinions. Some of those make headlines, others influence good decisions. Where should people be focusing, and in what order of priority, and at which times?
I got two answers for you. The first is one of the really interesting conversations I've had with the analysts in this industry over time is that from an expert in baseball who said, like, you know, our first results said, you know, all these guys were, you know, these old heads are, they're just wrong about so much. And we were really extreme in how we presented that and talked about that. But the truth was, it's not that they were right, like, but they weren't as wrong as maybe we imagined they were because our data was only so good. As we got better data, we moved back towards a middle ground between the two opinions much more. So data scientist mentality needs to really understand how the data they have constrains the confidence they should have in their analysis. And that's always going to be true. And really need to be reflective as a data scientist on that when you're presenting analysis. You know your data is not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. How strong are you, again, in your data versus how you're presenting your confidence in your data? You don't want to have a big difference between those two things. But second, more, you know, from an organizational standpoint, it is, how is this data being used in decision-making? Is it that, you know, everybody gets a, you know, seat at the table and here's what the data says and here's what the scout says and here's what the GM thinks and we all sort of argue about it together? I mean, that's better than it was, you know, 20 years ago, but that's not really a great use of data because data, while data has flaws and has limitations, it is a central, it has more weight because it sees every play in every game and judges them on the exact same bar. Now, that bar may be missing things. There may be all kinds of problems with that, but it has a consistency and depth and breadth that no scouting opinion can have because we're limited as humans. The brain has its own biases and we don't have the time to watch every play. And even if we could not possibly gauge them all off of the same criteria. We couldn't. No human can do that. So putting the data at the center, starting at the data, say, here's the data that we have. Here's what the data says about whatever decision we're trying to make. Now let's discuss why it's wrong. Hypothesize, if you disagree, why is it wrong? And as much as possible, let's test those theories. Because each one of those things, the humans are great at coming up with hypotheses. Incredibly creative. How many of those hypotheses can we actually test with real data and see if there is any support for those hypotheses? Because if there is, great, let's try and adjust things based on that hypothesis or at least learn from it in future analyses. If there's no support in data from any of these hypotheses, then you can either say, well, then that hypothesis is just wrong. That's sort of, you know, from a data perspective, that's how I would approach it. But at the very least, the stakeholders, the decision maker then knows, well, I really think my hypothesis is right, and I'm going to make that decision, but at least I know fundamentally that I don't have evidence to support that. Anything that I have to support that is my own sort of intuition about the game, which again, can certainly be correct, but if you want to truly have some kind of base your decisions, generally speaking, in evidence, at that point, you're making one that's not. And so as a decision maker, you want to limit the number of times you're doing that, departing entirely from the evidence in front of you.
You know, it's a big theme that I hear through that answer is that there's nothing wrong with being incorrect. And it's important to embrace experimentation and iteration and curiosity and healthy debate.
I tell my team and every team I've managed over and over again that one of the most important things that they can do is tell me when I'm wrong, because I'm going to have a lot of ideas and a lot of them are going to be wrong. And so if you go into a discussion and decision-making with a perspective, if you're not open to alternatives, if you're not open to counter-arguments, it makes it really hard to break through with any kind of decision-making. Unless you're somebody who is intuitively right about, you know, everything all the time, that's a dangerous place to be as a decision-maker. It is hard to change your mind. Like that's not an easy thing to do. I ask people, you know, when I'm interviewing with jobs, when was the last time data changed your mind about something? And a lot of people struggle trying to find that answer. But if you practice, if you fundamentally have it as how, you know, part of your practice as a decision maker to examine your own decisions and how the data honestly is in either agreement or disagreement with your thoughts, your intuition about a problem, then you'll get to a point at least where you're much more comfortable saying, yeah, I guess I was wrong. Let's move on to something else. The evidence is clear. I didn't have this one, right? We want to do that, not what I thought.
Last question for today. We can't really have a podcast about data without talking about generative AI and large language models. And, you know, I'm enjoying this paradox where teams are more interested than ever in working with AI businesses, but they also are expecting magic tricks now. And most people, look, myself included, I've had to do a lot of research, can't tell the difference between something being produced on text data versus tabular data and producing something that's interesting and impressive versus something that's accurate and consistent and doesn't hallucinate or fill in missing blanks in an incorrect way. So forgive the very generic and open-ended question, but how does all this stuff apply to sports? Where are the use cases? Where is it going? Is it going to be useful for sports anytime soon? And where will that happen?
Yeah, I think it absolutely has implications for sports, and the technology is absolutely can have impact on how you make decisions, how you analyze the game, how you think about all of this stuff. The problem that you're identifying, though, is even more fundamental. It's as a decision maker, as the leader of the organization, there's something that seems like it could be really valuable. How can I evaluate which one of these people are trying to sell it to me actually are telling me the truth and which one is just snake oil? And that's true in whether you're talking about AI, whether you're talking about sports science, whether you're talking about sports psychology and your data engineering, every aspect you can pray. It's easy for folks who are not sophisticated about that field fooled into thinking that they should spend money with you because, you know, you can talk a good game. You can sell really well. And so what becomes important here is for the folks within the organization, the data scientists who are closest to this kind of analysis, these kind of technologies, whatever the technologies happens to be, they're evaluating the technology and saying, this has promise, what reasonable expectations are for this. Here's where we might be able to use this as, you know, to test it out and not have the general manager or the president or the coach seduced by some really cool presentations that promise a lot and aren't going to deliver. Now, making sure you have the right experts around to evaluate all these different fields, like that's a challenge, and organizations need to think through how they're doing it, but much more prudent for organizations to really not just, you know, there's a lot of hype. That doesn't mean it's, you know, something you're spending money on now, or that you're not. Maybe you should be spending on money now, but making sure you understand your investment in it is going to pay off in 2-3 years, not next week.
Ben Alamar, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.